And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez.
I'm Clint Ruckus.
And Brian Keller has the day off. Actually, no, I think he's been exported to Europe or something.
Yeah, I think right now he is actually in Europe.
So, yeah, well, it's raining here, so there you go. Let's get right into it. So our first story is actually Windows Azure Media Services. So Scott Guthrie blogged about this, and the announcements were at the National Association of Broadcasters, NAB, and it's really announcing a number of things. So Azure Media Services includes what's typically called ingestion, and that's what we use for Channel 9 when we do Channel 9 Live. It basically takes your feed, does fast UDP, and then sends it out all over the world. It includes a bunch of different formats. So for different devices, so Flash, Silverlight, HTML5, iPad, Android, Xbox, Windows Phone.
It does it.
Smooth streaming, HTTP live streaming, Flash media streaming are all supported, right? So it's different technologies, not just Microsoft Smooth Streaming, content protection, DRM, encoding and format conversion, which is another interesting area, and then of course analytics across all of it. So a ton of really good stuff, and I think a lot of people are going to be interested, and certainly we for Channel 9 are definitely interested in this.
Yep.
As well. So
I have heard we do video from time to time.
From time to time. Exactly. So next story is actually a Windows 8 app. So this is the first version of our Windows 8 app. And Duncan and team and Kara have the first version out, and it has basically a number of different views. So from our fresh content to our most viewed shows, series, and search, and play to as well. So kudos to the team for getting the first version out, and I think people are already requesting a ton of new features.
Yeah,
for the next version.
Even in the comments, there's a bunch of features. I know Kara had already slammed out some bug fixes, just lots of cool stuff going into it.
Yeah. So here's a cool technology called Microsoft Mavis, which does audio and video indexing. And the idea was you take a bunch of videos, and what it can do is actually index the content, like what people are saying, decides what people are saying, and then actually builds an index based on the video. So it, like, I have a time code for when specific things were said in when particular videos. So, the cool part is we give them our archives, so you can actually search Channel 9 through the video website. So you go in and you can type in, say, Brian Keller or Rutgers or whatever, and you can actually see all the times that person's name's been said. It's remarkably accurate, actually. So it's kind of funny. We were going through the results, and it was like times that Clint had
magically appeared.
Yeah. So
I enjoyed the callback from the first time before I was even an
with
employee.
With Rory. Yes.
Rory and Mel Sampat.
It was such an awkward video.
It was.
That you should see it again.
It was. Like I'm like curled in this little love seat that had three guys on it when it's only meant for like two people.
Yes. It was wonderful. I think I actually recorded that. So definitely cool stuff there. Now, what is this story? Reclaiming memory for Metro Cell apps.
Yes, so in Windows Phone 7, along with Win8, you have this concept of your application can hibernate. Mm-hmm. And when this stuff, if you have an application running in the background, well, or if it's not the current app running, should if at all possible, if the system needs memory, it should be able to reclaim
suspend
it.
Suspend, sure.
Yes. So this is all about suspending those applications. It goes in and talks about some of the high-level overview on how it does it and the ramifications, such as, like, there was a, I think it was the Flickster app went from, like, 80 megs to 0.5 as the working set. So if you have a machine with, like, 2 gigs of RAM, this is huge, just to be able to go and have your machine be responsive but still have those applications loaded. Mm-hmm. So when you go back to them, they instantly come back up.
Cool. Definitely cool stuff. And read the blog post again from the Building Windows 8 blog for full details.
Full details.
All the wonderful details there. So our next story is actually .NET for Metro style applications. And this is Brandon Bray, who I think a lot of folks will know. And he's now doing the CLR core framework team. And he talks about building the API profile for .NET for Metro style applications. So yep. The idea is how much of the .NET framework, and this is really like their thinking, what do we need for Windows 8 Metro style applications, and really starting with Windows Phone as the base, if you will, yep. in terms of the stuff that they wanted to build. Do these APIs make sense? Are they used somewhere else within the WinRT system such that we don't need them? Or does it make sense for us to put them in just based on how Metro style apps work? Or are there pieces of other frameworks like .NET, the full .NET 4.5 that we actually want to bring yeah. in and have supported on? So you can go through all of the thinking there for Brandon's application. So lots of cool stuff. Yeah. Definitely check that out.
Well, the thing that I thought was interesting was how big the .NET framework truly is.
Yeah.
When you looked at the stats, it was like there are 220,000 different members, where then the phone has 20,000 and the .NET for Metro has 15,000.
So 220 to 16,000. So that's like a...
That's a nice reduction.
Yeah, yeah. So you can know, you can keep 16,000 items in memory. Just from your own memory. So
done.
So what's this one?
Okay. So how to share your Metro style Win8 app with another developer. So if you're, you know, beta testing an app and you don't want it to go up on Marketplace, mm-hmm. go create an app package and then send it out. Matt Harrington goes through a step-by-step process with wonderful screenshots on how to do this.
Cool.
So, I mean, we've been doing this with the Channel 9 app and just trying to get stuff so we can do internal testing.
Okay. Cool. So our next story is Visual Studio 11 fakes. So Peter Provost, who we talked about just a couple weeks ago, in terms of some of the things coming for unit testing, talks about in Visual Studio beta, the first part is around stubs. So he actually talks through their mocking framework and the things that they were doing for and the thinking behind why we do need one. We can't just use third-party ones. And he goes through like examples of really good third-party libraries like Mock and other ones that a lot of people are probably familiar with. And then does a step-by-step on how you can actually use fakes going into Visual Studio, say that you're adding a fakes library, and some of the different parts, what those mean, how we can do things like interception for a method call to change behavior and so on. So if you do any sort of unit testing, chances are you're using a mocking framework of some sort. So you're definitely going to want to, if you're using Visual Studio's unit testing, you're definitely going to want to read this article.
Definitely.
So,
definitely.
Windows R runtime. So, Charles, Larry, and Golnaz recorded 2 days, and I think all the content's on here. This particular session is Martin Lovell on the Windows runtime. And he talks about all the things that happen under the covers for the Windows runtime and how they're exposed through a language in a very natural way
yep.
through that language projection. And he talks about like 4 people. The idea of getting other languages on, bringing another language to the Windows runtime. What are the things that you need? So how do you do things like handle metadata where I can get information about my types?
Okay.
How do you wrap a type? What are the best ways to handle memory for things like strings or passing data types around? Or how do you handle exceptions? So the underlying system throws H results, but chances are you're going to want some sort of exception for your language. And how do you map these different concepts from here's your language and here's the right way to map WinRT stuff to that language? And the other thing is, you know, a lot of people like these lang.next section. Lang.next. Because it used to be lang.net, but it's lang.next sessions. So Gilad Braca has a great one on Dart. And I'm trying to think of there's a bunch of other ones.
Is there one on D, Charles' new favorite language?
Yeah, I think there's one on D that just went on the homepage, and another one that people may be really interested in, at least for .NET developers, is Project Roslyn.
Ooh.
So the compiler as a service one.
Yes, that'd be cool.
So there's definitely a lot of cool stuff. Check out the videos, and I think almost all of them are online now. So, which brings us to our Picks of the Week.
So, Brian Peek made me aware of this. Basically, Prince of Persia's source code was lost for 22 years.
And, I love that.
And I was actually shocked that... Okay, so he found the disc. I think his mom like had... or someone found the box of just random 3.5 inch
floppies. For people who don't know Prince of Persia, it's a very popular old school game.
Yeah. And they found this box, and they're like, here you go. And he's like, oh my god, here's the disc. But then you're like, crap, how do I get the data off of it? Who has a drive still that works on a modern computer for 3.5? And then it's like, is the disc still good? So thankfully they retrieved it. It's on GitHub now. I personally know Brian Peek right now is probably going through like, how can I make this into the world's coolest old school game?
Yeah, exactly, dude. That's pretty sweet though. I love that it's available too. I don't know if anybody's tried to run it.
That's a good question.
I'd want to say.
I mean, put it up on an emulator.
Yeah.
I have no clue even how to compile it.
Yeah, I don't know.
How to compile something that from back then.
It's an exercise for the reader. Take Prince of Persia and build it. Make it HTML5 canvas. Ooh. So I can play it on the browser. Or Silverlight, or whatever browser technology. So make me download something.
Next
is this gem from Miguel de Casa. So XNA on Windows 8 Metro. So the Mono Game team is working on adding Windows 8 Metro support to Mono Game. And the real big thing here, and you know, a lot of people, we've talked about Mono before, in terms of being able to build applications for iOS and Android, when you need that and you are a C# developer, you can use Mono to target those platforms. But the big thing is XNA developers that want to target the Metro App Store. So that is pretty sweet. So if you are an XNA developer, I think this definitely seems like very interesting for you to be able to use this.
Yep.
To take your XNA games and use it for Windows 8 Metro style apps.
That would be huge. That's really cool.
I think a lot of XNA developers will certainly appreciate this, so it's definitely cool stuff.
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay, so that's our show, and we will catch you guys next time.
Thank you.
Thanks.